Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Good morning, Bev. How are things with you?
Pretty good. Another pretty summer day, and I'm looking forward to what it's going to bring today.
Yeah.
And especially with this interview with our new member.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to today's interview. Don't know the individual all that well, but I'm going to get to know him a little bit better after today's interview. So let's get right into it. I would like to bring on at this time the individual that we're going to be interviewing today, Jeff Creech. Jeff, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Thanks, Chip. I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, let's just dive right on into it. We talked a little bit before we began the recording, how we kind of do things. So let's begin with your vision loss. What was the cause result of your vision loss?
The experts said it's anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. So the blood flow was cut off to the optic nerves. And the last expert that talked to me said the shape of my optic nerves, I was predisposed to this happening.
Okay, and so when did all this begin?
It began September of 2019. I was deer hunting, and I looked through my scope, and I had a black line, and everything below that line was black.
Wow.
Well, I thought I had a problem with my scope. And when came out of the deer woods, I grabbed my buddy's crossbow and I looked through his scope. It was the same thing. So I wound up going to a doctor and I lost sight in my right eye in 19. And I learned how to deal with that. And I was still able to function normally. I had better than 20/20 vision in my left still and no issues. Then September, ironically, of 21, 2 years later, it happened in my left eye. So in 3 weeks, I went from 20/20 to almost nothing.
Oh, wow. How scary.
Yeah. So were you pretty alarmed by that happening?
I was. In 21, I was actually at a parish picnic and went to take a drink of my beer, and I hit myself in the nose with the bottle and kind of laughed a little. And my wife at the time, she kind of laughed, but then she looked serious. She goes, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. It was the first beer I had all day." So it wasn't that. And I went to the doctor the next day, and they said, "Sorry to tell you." And unfortunately, they all say not to be surprised if I wake up one morning and everything is dark.
Oh, gosh.
All I have left is kind of shapes and contrast. If a person walks up, I can tell somebody walked up, but I don't have enough vision for detail. I don't know if it's male or female till they start talking.
So how were you able to adjust as your vision slowly began to digress? How were you able to adjust mentally?
It was tough. The first 3 months, I could care less what happened, if I was here or not, anything. It was bad. I actually gained 60 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Because I just ate everything in sight. I just didn't care. And I had some friends that did a benefit to help out because I'm unable to work. And anybody that's gotten disability knows it's not easy and it takes a long time.
Sure, sure.
So going without a paycheck was, I was looking at losing everything I had. Well, they did this benefit and the turnout was just amazing. They were able to collect five figures for me and the family.
Terrific, terrific.
And it helped get through that time. And then in January, it was like, this is stupid. I can still do anything I want, with the exception of drive or hunt with guns because I can't see what's in the background. So I just turned it around. I lost 65 pounds. So I got rid of everything that I put on and just kept going. And unfortunately, anytime there's good, there seems to be bad that follows. My wife decided that it wasn't for her to be married to a blind man. So we have separated. So I now live on my own. Just got my guide dog, so it's just me and her. And life's actually going very good. I've managed to paint three rooms in my house, which was interesting. And wherever I missed, my daughter'd come and help me fix those areas. I mow my own grass. I may miss places, but I'll get them next time. So, RSB, I got in touch with them, and they've got me a lot of things to help me live the life I want to live. I very much enjoy cooking and grilling, and they got me a talking meat thermometer and Braille measuring cups and everything of that nature. So I've had a lot of support getting through all this.
Good, good. Well, let's just pause here for a moment. You mentioned quite a bit in there, so, but we'll get to a lot of it as we go along here. So let me back up. Let's talk a little bit before we progress. Talk to us a little bit about your family. You got brothers, sisters. You mentioned that you were married. Did you have any children? So share with us a little bit about your family.
Sure. Unfortunately, my parents have passed on. I do have a sister. We do not speak very much. But my daughter has been a huge help.
Mm-hmm.
I moved her and her husband up here about 5 years ago and helped them get a place just a couple blocks from me, actually. So I've got them very close. She makes sure I get out to the grocery store every week and things of that nature. And they gave me a grandson who will be 3 in July here. So that's exciting. He hasn't quite got the grass yet that grandpa can't see, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jeff, before I turn it over to Bev, where did you call home originally before you, got settled in where you're at right now? Where was home for you?
I grew up in St. Charles, even though my dad's side of the family is all from Troy. And my mom's side is from Old Monroe. And where I live now, the farmhouse that's next to me is still in that side of the family. It's actually the house my mom was born in.
Is that right? Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So I'm kind of where the family started, but a little ways away from where I grew up.
Cool. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, Bev, I know you've got some questions for Jeff, so why don't you just jump right on in here?
Oh, wow. Whew, yeah. Where do we begin? Well, I'm going to begin with Old Monroe, where Jeff lives, that we used to, my ex-husband and I would drive up to Illinois, up Highway 79, where Old Monroe is. And there's several little river towns along there on the Mississippi Road. And I remember seeing Old Monroe and Foley and Winfield. And so I asked my Echo device, I can't say it too loud right now, about the population of Old Monroe. It told me 249 people, and the census since 2010, it has dropped population by 22.7%. So I thought, wow, what a little town, even though I'm from a little town of 1,600 people. So isn't it wonderful how the community comes together in areas like that, especially, and helps support you? I'm so glad that they did that for you, Jeff. And I've always was concerned about how it affects the family when you go through the vision loss. And I was so concerned about my ex-husband and how it would affect him and continue on as a mom for my kids. So I know this was really tough. You went through a lot, and it's a lot with character. It says a lot about your character, how you turned that around. So,
yeah, 21 wasn't a good year. I actually had bypass surgery in April of 21.
Oh, what else? Oh, my gosh.
Then wound up losing my vision in September. So that's not a year I like.
No. Yeah. Wow. You know, God gives us what, you know, we can handle. And sometimes you want to say, God, are you paying attention down here? You know, but.
Right. There's a couple times that I said uncle, but he didn't listen.
Yes, but, you know, growing up in that small town and that community that you have, and it sounds like you've got a great support system with your friends and your daughter. I've met your daughter, and I'm so impressed with her, and I'm sure your three-year-old grandson will be right there by your side, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep, yep. I had some questions throughout what all you were talking about. Okay, going hunting. And what about fishing? Do you like to go fishing?
I do. I always joke around, the only reason that I worked was so I could afford to fish and hunt. I still will go fishing. I get help to tie things on, especially trout or crappie fishing, because the line's so small. But I will bait it. I will take the fish off myself. I even help fillet them.
Oh.
So far, I still have 10 fingers left.
And what
just
other hobbies do you
down.
Have? Yes, yes. What other hobbies do you have, Jeff?
I'm a member of the Old Monroe Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. I was just voted in as the new Deputy Grand Knight, which is like the vice president of the organization. I throw horseshoes. I told my team, because they asked if I wanted to try 2 years ago when I lost my sight. And I said, I do. If I'm too dangerous, though, I'm not going to throw. Uh-huh. And so far, I have not been too dangerous.
Everybody stands back, huh?
Everybody keeps an eye out, yes. But it's going pretty well. Like I said, I love to grill. So I do that at least one day a week or weekend. I'll put some meat on the smoker and smoke it. I do it the old-fashioned way with wood. I don't personally like the new pellets and all that. It's just not, to me, smoking meat when I can set it on my phone.
Yeah, wow. Well, you mentioned the Knights of Columbus. We had a member several years ago that she was from the old Monroe area. And the Knights of Columbus there gave donations to St. Charles Council in her name. So they're a great organization, too. They really reach out for community service.
And they do. And
I'm glad you're a part of that, too, Jeff.
Yep, I am, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead, Chip, and I'll think of some more questions for
All
Jeff.
Right. Jeff, I want to go back before you actually lost your vision. What kind of work did you do?
The last 15 years, I did heating and cooling. And I was also a firefighter EMT for the Old Monroe Fire Department.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, so I would like to kind of take off from there. But before I do, you mentioned about that you're now a guide dog user. Where did you get your dog and what kind of dog do you have?
I got my dog at the Seeing Eye out of Morristown, New Jersey. And she is a yellow lab. She's small. She's a British lab, but she's a tank.
And what's its name?
Archie.
Archie. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. The Seeing Eye, anyone that donates $5,000 or more gets to sponsor and name a dog.
Is that right? Okay.
And
yeah.
I got lucky enough that Archie is a sponsored dog. So someone paid at least $5,000 to pick her and name her.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. And that's your first dog, right? Of course.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
there was a lot to learn.
Oh, yeah. Well, back in 1990, I went to Morristown, New Jersey, and I got my dog. It was a long-haired German Shepherd named Gunner. And I was there for about 26 days. And of course, we did a lot of traveling around Morristown. We even went over to New York. We did some stuff there. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been back east, but it's a totally different lifestyle, the way that people live, talk, and everything. And it was quite an adjustment for me. I don't know how it was for you, but glad that you got yourself a dog. And you talked about being sort of an outdoorsman, and I bet your dog will love that. So that's really terrific. You know, Jeff, you mentioned...
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, I bet she does. And so you mentioned about firefighters, and you had mentioned to Bev and I something that I found very interesting that you want to put together. Why don't you share with us the kind of thing that you're looking at working on and putting something together?
Sure. About an hour after I received my dog in Morristown, it hit me. I was a police officer in the mid-late 90s, and so I went through police academy and fire academy and EMT. No one ever mentioned, what do you do if you encounter a guide dog? And it can be such a traumatic experience on both the handler and the dog if things aren't done correctly. And I thought, I need to write a training program and get out there and start training all the first responders on what to do and what not to do, and some of the advocacy of the laws and things that are out there to protect the handler and the service animal. And so I'm in process of writing this program, and I don't even want to make a living on this. I just want, you know, the entity to pay my, so to speak, travel expense. because I plan to travel across Missouri, and when that's done, expand to other states. I spoke with firefighter from Georgia. They have nothing. Even New Jersey, that's huge, especially around Morristown, mm-hmm. on guide dogs. There mm-hmm. is no standard operating procedure of what to do if you encounter a guide dog. And these dogs are trained so well, and the dog and the handler get bonded like nobody's business. I mean, it's a bond more than husband and wife a lot of times.
Sure. Yeah.
And to separate them during a traumatic experience would be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if the handler got hurt, he needs to go to the hospital. But if the dog is not hurt, it needs to go also.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where being a firefighter, if I ran across a car accident and I had to take the handler to the hospital and I was left with a dog, that dog's not going to the ambulance. I'm calling animal control. Absolute worst thing you could do at that time. So I'm going to try to get this written and get out there and start training people on what's the proper thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Bev, we got to get him involved with the Missouri Guide Dog Users. I think he would be a great fit there.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, Jeff, I love hearing about your talking about your background experience with the police academy, firefighters, and all that kind of stuff. You know, at some point in time, those of us that have used a guide dog, you know, encounter discrimination, you know, whether you go into some place mm-hmm. of business or, you know, you're trying to catch public transportation, you know, many of us, and I know I did, they would not allow me in one pizza place. I think I was in Jefferson City at the time with my dog, and they just simply would not allow me in with my dog. And even though I got my dog, like you, Jeff, I got my dog from Seeing Eye, and I had the little card that, you know, that indicate that he was, a service animal. He was a guide dog for me, being totally blind. Yet they still would not allow me entrance into the place. I called the police, and you know, they wouldn't do anything. The police wouldn't do anything. You know, so,
and that's,
you know,
part of the problem, Chip, is they, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad against the police, because they've got all kinds of stuff to learn. Mm-hmm. They don't know what Missouri law is when it comes to guide dogs.
That is true. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I quoted the law, and I even explained that it's a misdemeanor. I did all those things, but they just, that's the problem. We got the law on the books, but then we need to have the entity that's going to enforce that law. So that's what I'm glad hearing you talk today, because I think that's really, really important. I want to wish you all the success in the world as you take on that task. I really do, because it's so vital and so important. So glad to hear that you're taking that on.
Yeah, and yeah, we're right here behind you, Jeff. We're going to back you up on this. And, you know, I didn't even think anything about it until you mentioned it. I've never had a guide dog, but I can see how that would be an issue. So we're here for you.
Yes, until I went through this training and that, I didn't know how entailed this really was.
Yeah. So Jeff, tell us now, how did you get involved with MCB?
Well, I guess with MCB, through the St. Charles County Council and through Bev, I was at a fall festival in Old Monroe, and my wife at the time had went to the food truck to kind of see what their menu was. There was a big line, so I didn't want to stand there in somebody's way. And when she came back, she said somebody had given her a card. They had noticed I had my white cane, and they were a member of the St. Charles County Council, and told her that I needed to contact them and you know, see what they're about. And I contacted them and got a hold of Bev, and here I am.
All right. Good deal.
And I got to say, Chip, too, Jeff and I started talking last fall, and now when I talk to him now, boy, what a difference I hear in his voice.
Yeah.
And that glimpse, that hope, you know, you have come a long ways, Jeff, in these few months, and that is incredible. And I hear this enthusiasm in your voice now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
There are things that can be done. So it worked out to be a good fit.
Yeah, and I got lucky enough my first year in MCB, and I sold the winning ticket for the Cardinals.
That's what I heard. I was going to ask you about that. Tell us about that, Jeff.
Well, I know a lot of people, and unfortunately, a lot of people in my position don't get out that often. Well, I still do. And I sold a lot of raffle tickets, and one of the people from my area up here won the Cardinal ticket package. So they get to go to the game Sunday, and I'm still waiting for them to call and tell me I'm going, but I haven't got that call yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's sad because, you know, Bev got the winning ticket last year, and she went with a couple of friends and stuff. So too bad you didn't know her back there last year. So.
Right.
I am totally spoiled with those tickets now. I've never had such good tickets before.
Yeah.
So it was great. And you know, when he said he sold over $700 worth of tickets.
Oh,
now, remember,
awesome.
There's only 249 people in his town. So
right. Yeah.
He had to have sold a ticket to every one of them.
Oh, my. Well, that's great, Jeff. Glad that you got involved. That's the kind of people we need in this organization. So glad to hear that. Bev, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, we are going to get him more involved. He's just getting a tip of the iceberg right now. And so I go slow with people because I don't want to overwhelm them on different ideas and directions they can go, because it can be overwhelming at first. And but boy, there's so much I want to talk to Jeff about. And one thing, I'm trying to get him to come to camp, because to meet people from all across the state would be such a boost too. And we set up reports and ideas or things that we've done, or someone said, yeah, let's share our bruises. You know, how'd you get that bruise? <You know? laughs> But even going to the guide dog school, Jeff, you want to share some of your experiences meeting people at the guide dog school?
Sure. It was kind of nice being with other sight impaired. It was my first time actually being with a group of people that were in the same boat I am. And when I run into a wall, everybody laughs, but you know they're laughing because they've done it too. We had 21 people in our class. So they break that down between trainers, and there was four of us in our training group. One gentleman was out of Independence, Missouri, out by Kansas City. Another gentleman in my group, his name's Jimmy, is out of Nashville, Tennessee. And Jimmy and I kind of hit it off, and we were paired together on a lot of the walks. You'll like him, Chip. He got a long-haired German Shepherd also. But he's a really, really inspirational story to me. And we just really seemed to hit it off and had a great time and pulled a few practical jokes on the trainers and, you know, just made fun of it. And Jimmy and his wife are planning to come up here next month for a Cardinal game and for us to get together. And I'm planning to go to Nashville in October to see them. So it's nice that I met a friend that's in the same position.
Yeah.
Even though he may not live here.
Yes. Yes. And you know, that's, I've met so many people through Missouri Council that I would not have met, you know, if it weren't for the vision loss. You know, so God has a plan for us. And I'm grateful for all the terrific friends that I have met through Missouri Council. And not just there, going to the American Council of the Blind Convention and meeting people from across the state. I had quite it was a coincidence that when I met Artis Bazin in California, the minister from her church is now a minister at a church about 5 miles from me here. So this other connection.
Yeah, wow.
So, yep. And if it weren't for the Council of the Blind, I would not know these people. I am blessed, and you are too, Jeff. Go ahead, Chip. I got to regroup here, too.
Okay, all right. So, Jeff, you know, coming from where you began to where you're at right now, what kind of words of encouragement would you like to offer to our listeners? I'm sure from your background, and maybe even further back, just at the very beginning, before you actually started losing your sight. I know as a police officer, firefighter, you've got some things, words of encouragement that you could offer to our listeners.
Well, my biggest thing in life has always been, can't is not in my dictionary.
Mm.
Never say you can't. And never give up. If there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have your eyes to be happy. Just like you don't have to have alcohol to be happy. You can do so many things that you don't even think you can do. And I've always taken the risk that I want to do that, but boy, I don't know. Just do it. Good or bad. I hate dentists. I don't go to dentists. I have to go to a dentist this afternoon because I'm having a toothache. So I don't want to, but I have to. So just do it.
Yeah. Think about what your mom would say.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing those words of encouragement with us. I'm sure a lot of our listeners appreciate that. So thank you so much. You have your last question, Beth?
Oh, yeah. I've got a question for him, too. You know, that you will find, Jeff, and I have discovered this, too, that once you lose your sight, all of a sudden, you're amazing. Have you heard that? And I'm sure, Jip, you have too.
Sure. People
say, oh, he is just amazing. And I was thinking about this morning. I thought, what'd I do to become amazing? I didn't do anything. I just lost my sight. So all of a sudden, you're amazing, you know. And I know we talked Saturday and you were getting ready to go to a street dance. Did you get out and dance?
No, unfortunately, ours was canceled due to the weather that was coming in.
Uh-huh.
So we did not have one.
Well, you'll have another opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
But, yes, I have heard, I can't believe you do that when it comes to cutting my own grass, painting my own house. Or even cooking my own food. They're like, you just make like frozen pizzas. No, I make full meals.
Mm-hmm.
I experiment. Somebody at the guide dog school actually said they smoke hamburgers. And you know, I've never tried that. So I got home and I tried it. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
I smoked a cherry cobbler.
Oh, wow. That's
that was really good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So just keep experimenting. You never know what you're going to accomplish, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And the attitude, I think the attitude that you have is going to get you through. And you can impress that on other people, not just vision related, any wakes alive. And with your grandson, he will be talking about you forever.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Jeff, in your short time as a person with a visual impairment, had you had the opportunity yet to go and get any type of blindness skills training to be more independent, or you just experiencing life as it comes and learning as you go?
Yeah, pretty much self-taught. RSB, like I said, have gotten me instruments to help, but I've learned how to use them and learned how to do things on my own.
Very good. That I like to hear that, when people just take it upon themselves, and you know, and to be self-taught. You know, that's really great that you're not just sitting back saying, "Oh, woe is me, I can't do this anymore because I'm blind and I can't see." And no, you can still do a lot of the same things that you used to do. You may have to do them a little bit differently, but you can still participate in life. Don't sit back and just say, "Oh, poor, woe is me. I can't do these things any longer. I need somebody to come in now and cook for me and clean for me." In some situations like that, some people need those services. But I'm glad to hear that you're taking life, meeting those challenges, and you're winning meeting those challenges. So good for you, Jeff. Really glad to hear it.
We're going to have a great member of Missouri Council here with Jeff, and we're going to do more raffle tickets and give them to Jeff.
Well, Jeff, I got to tell you, I want to thank you so much for graciously consenting to be our guest here today. It's really been fun. I wish we had a whole lot more time, because you sound like you're just such a fascinating person to get to know, and I hope people will take the time to get to know you. So thank you so much for being our guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
Thanks for having me, Chip. Thanks, Bev.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them contact me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know, you might catch yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy Independence Day, everybody. Stay well, stay safe, and always remember to be kind to one another. Till next time, bye-bye for now.